next page.
Yeah, you drive. Yeah. We'll deal with that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Hello.
Testing. So I guess Ethan's not making it. Did he let you know if he was coming or not?
I didn't hear from anybody. Yeah. Nobody said they couldn't make it.
Right.
So.
Right. And we got a quorum, so.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
If you guys want to proceed, I mean, we can.
Sure. Yeah, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Take it straight up.
Start the meeting, 7 o'clock.
Go for it.
So we have the two projects. First one is the DAP 1912, which is the Elk Ridge Taco Bell. Chair, the floor is yours.
Okay, let's call the meeting to order. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in this evening. I'm not sure if you know how this process works or not, if you've been here, but I'll give you a quick overview. Essentially, we'll introduce ourselves, give you 15 minutes or so to make your presentation. Obviously, introduce yourselves first and then make your presentation. And then staff will have a few comments. We may ask some questions along the way, and then we'll discuss and ask more questions at the end of the presentation.
Wonderful.
And then we'll make some motions.
Okay, that's great. Wonderful.
I'm Fred Marino. I'm an architect.
Juan Rodriguez, you're an engineer.
I'm Bob Gorman, I'm a landscape architect.
And I'm Larry Quarick. I'm also a landscape architect.
Larry, how are you?
Sujit Mishra, architect.
Vivian Stone, and also an architect.
My name is Nicholas Haynes. I work for the Department of Planning and Zoning.
I'm John Hubert. I'm the architect.
Jody Pascal, development manager for Summerwood Corporation, the operator of the store. And a civil engineer, so where's the rest of the engineers? Seriously, I got a problem.
And I'm Bill Erskine. I'm Land Use Council, and I also operate the page down button.
Excellent.
That's why we paid a big bucks.
That's why you pay him the big bucks.
He's good.
So the floor is yours, so okay, you have about 15 minutes to make a presentation.
As you know, this is a redevelopment of an existing Taco Bell store on Elk Ridge. It's been there many, many years. This is a significant reinvestment into the Elk Ridge community, the Elk Ridge area, so we're very pleased about that. It's going to be a complete scrape and rebuild, so this is not just an interior renovation. It'll be brought right down to the foundations and redeveloped. So with that, what I guess I'd like to do is either have Mr. DePascal or John, if you'd like to talk a little bit about the project.
Yeah, okay. I'll start. No problem. And we were here for our Jessup store. We're basically scraping that and doing the same thing. So if you might recall, it was a while ago. But basically, we're putting up what is our new prototype. It's a 2,753 square foot Taco Bell. It'll only be Taco Bell. It won't be a combined unit. The store with an outdoor patio. Seating's probably less, if not equal, to what's already in there. Really, it's more back of house. This is to get us, you know, more efficient, cooking facilities and things like that. And it's our new prototype, and we're doing, I don't know, I've got 20 of these, and three of them are in Howard County. So we leased this property. We were trying to buy it from the owners. We're going to extend the lease and get a purchase option. Obviously, we're going to invest a couple $1 million. We want to, we're going to extend our lease and all that. We've never used the adjoining, you see there's, open space on that property that's never been used. Basically, the guy up, the tire guy next door parks his cars there. As Bill said, we're going to redevelop the entire site. We're going to, clean up the stacking lanes, produce a bypass lane, which we like to do. We've respected the rear buffer on this plan to the residential behind. I believe that our engineer, John works for the same company, but he's an architect, did try and meet your requirements along the frontage with the sidewalk and all that. I recall in Jessup that was one of the big items we had to deal with. So, unless you have any real questions about the plan, it's pretty straightforward.
Why don't you explain a little bit about the aesthetics of the building, what you're doing architecturally, so, and you have some renderings you submitted?
Yeah, you have some renderings. Basically, the front of the building is a Nietzsche Hardy panel board, a dark brown. And if I don't know if you have it, you know, if you get it, if you can get the yeah, there it is. And then the rear is a brick material. We don't do the mural thing, so those lights there would be more of an up down, light, not a gooseneck. You know, it'll be an accent. And then the rear is the cooler box, and that's a metal corrugated panel. Again, it's to the rear. It's going to be buffered. Nobody's going to really see it unless you're going around the drive-thru. We have in the past, covered that and made it the brick and done that as well. But we have a rusted metal corner accent feature that you see on this to the left. I don't know if there's another view in there. There might be another view if you go to
the
next one over. Yeah, there you go. So that's a rusted metal panel. But we think it's a pretty decent-looking building. It's not the garish purples and oranges anymore. It's, pretty clean and simple. And, I think most of the, if you look at most of the QSRs now out there, I think they all buy from the same people. So they're all using some form of Hardy panel or something like that. This is called Nichiha. It's the same stuff. It's just a different manufacturer.
What's that corner material?
It's an actual metal, and it rusts.
It's Portland steel.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it rusts to that color.
To that color,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So are you finished with your presentation?
Unless you have any specific questions, you have your elevations. And
We'll turn it over to staff and ask them if they have any comments, and then we can ask questions.
Sure.
And go further.
As you guys have seen, the site is fairly straightforward. It's a, redevelopment of the existing Taco Bell site with, direct frontage along Washington Boulevard and Elk Ridge. And the site design, provided and stuff is fairly straightforward, for the, 1.15 acre site. But the Department of Planning and Zoning, we would like you guys, or the DAP, to please evaluate and make recommendations into anything along with that proposed Route 1 frontage, any comments, possible recommendations you guys could make, landscaping, site circulation, parking, stuff like that, based on site design. If you could make recommendations on the proposed architecture, scale, proposed materials and stuff, and how it fits within the context, of the surrounding area, and then any sustainable design elements you think should maybe be considered for the property and the project moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. I just have a couple of questions, and then we'll kind of go down the panel here if anybody else has any questions. What is the trash enclosure made of?
It's masonry. It's a block, like a split face, so it's decorative. It's not, and it'll get heavy gates in the front, not chain link with slats or anything like that.
And then the other thing was, I'm assuming you're aware of the Route 1 design guidelines and pretty much designed what you have here.
I'll make the assumption, the guy who actually designed it, I'm pretty sure after we got schooled on Jessup and Columbia, might have gotten it. So obviously if there's some tweaks, we believe he had those and, tried to incorporate them.
Okay. Because there's elements in there that speak to lighting, landscape, the pathway, mm-hmm. and so forth. And generally, it looks like you may have referred to that mm-hmm. in the design of this. But I'll leave it to my colleagues who are the experts when it comes to landscape and hardscape and civil.
I think the building's a vast improvement over what was there. Nice building. I think the circulation works pretty good. One of the things that jumps out at me as I look at this, it seems like you've got sort of a scattershot approach to your landscape budget. You've got a little bit here, a little bit there, and a couple of shrubs over there. And I was wondering, you're showing a freestanding sign in this little island as you come in. Is there any reason why that couldn't be moved out to the backside of the sidewalk at the entry so that you could come in and put some street trees along there, and that sign would be underneath the street trees, and you could see it? So you're talking about.
So the pipe, you're talking about the sign.
Yeah, so I guess the pipe, he's talking about the.
Right here, yeah.
There, yeah.
Is there any reason why that couldn't go there? And then I noticed you've got some very small trees out here, which really aren't street trees. They're, mm-hmm. they're ornamentals. You've got a zoomy crab and some other kind of a crataegus out there. They're small trees, and they're actually going to make the sight distance a little tough when you're coming in and out on Route 1. I'm wondering if you couldn't put in some street trees along here that you could see under to the building.
Right.
Move your sign out to the entrance.
Well, anytime I could put my sign closer, because yeah. right now it occurs back further, mm-hmm. probably somewhere near where it is in this plan. So forward would be much better for me.
I don't know if there's any restriction.
I have to check zoning.
I was
going to
speak to that.
Yeah.
Howard County has a sign code ordinance, and depending on the square footage mm-hmm. of the sign and how tall it is, it's like a 2-to-1 ratio, you know, for every
foot
high.
Well, it's really supplemental.
It
I mean, where you have it now, no one's going to see it until they get on the
yeah.
site to begin.
We're on the same team here.
We
agree.
Yeah, we agree.
And I guess my point is, because I know visibility is a big issue, the building itself is a sign.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I think if you came in and, you know, did 6 street trees mm-hmm. just back behind the sidewalk mm-hmm. and maybe eliminated those 5 little ornamental
yep.
trees out of the entrance, it'd be a better plan.
Well, I was going to say, do they survive in that little area he's got there anyway, between there and the curb on Washington Boulevard?
It'd be iffy.
Yeah.
And they're inappropriate as a street tree.
Right.
And this is a major boulevard, so I think you want something with some scale.
Mm-hmm.
And you can refer to the county guidelines on acceptable trees, but I'm sure there's a number of upright varieties that aren't mm-hmm. going to get real
right.
broad and block your signs.
Well, I could always maybe put a monument in and be, like you said, be below it, right?
So where are you proposing the sign, like right in this
yeah.
area?
I'm saying, maybe the sign could go right there as people turn in.
Right.
And instead of doing these 5 little trees, come in and do 5 or 6
along
really
that.
Nice street trees, which is part of the plan for Route 1 anyway, to have
mm-hmm.
a street tree situation. Right. And then, instead of having little scattershot clumps of bushes here and there, which mm-hmm. aren't doing much of anything, because you've got a nice buffer in the back that exists, maybe take some of that stuff and use it to enhance your patio area and your entrance and, get more bang for your buck out of your landscape budget. Maybe this would be a good place to put, these ornamental trees
right.
on the back here, where they help screen that residential area.
And I think all of what my colleague is saying is in the design guidelines, with the street trees and so much spacing, light, what the sidewalk is, all of what along Route 1 and Washington Boulevard that you've shown,
mm-hmm.
and that may help you to be able to relocate that sign so it's in a more, and obviously pay attention to the Howard County zone,
when
it comes to the sign placement and size and so forth. And make that whole sort of frontage along Route 1, which is what the Department of Planning and Zoning was referencing anyway when we started the conversation.
Okay. Well, we could certainly explore that.
No question.
This is very specific in the guidelines in terms of tree spacing, what type, mm-hmm. get that
and
higher.
And we're really trying to make this, more, it's never going to be urban,
more pedestrian-friendly than it is today.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you've taken a stab at doing that with the wide sidewalk and the landscaping and so forth.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that's not a problem. Yeah. Yeah, I think in the rear there behind the building, you can see basically you've got a rain garden, a stormwater mm-hmm. management facility. So I think that's why he has that stuff sort of scattered around it, because obviously nothing's going to really grow inside of that.
I guess, is that going to be enough? Have you done the calculations to figure out the runoff and how much stormwater management you're going to need?
We've done all our geotech. We have the information. I'm believing we probably are going to wind up with some underground as well. Again, most of this, nothing perks anywhere. I have 10 of them and none of them perk. And where it does perk, I have karst soils and limestone, so we usually wind up with a problem anyway. So,
I pretty much agree with Bob on the street trees here. I mean, there's many varieties of trees that can be pruned up high. You know, as they grow, you can prune them up, 15 feet high or whatever,
right.
so you're seeing underneath
safe.
It.
Yep.
And it'll help define Route 1 as a boulevard. And if you ride along Route 1 where some newer developments have gone in, you'll see some of the bigger trees. And it really is much more effective than the smaller ornamental
mm-hmm.
trees.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to I agree also with some of the landscaping. Like these are yews, which are they grow like 15 inches high. So
okay.
They're really more meant to be ground cover elsewhere.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
But you have two potential areas here that could be really nice. I mean, you have the porch area here,
mm-hmm.
and you do indicate some heavenly bamboo, which is, you know, 6 feet high or whatever, and then some lower yews also here. But if you look at the enlargement, like I'm looking here, there's also more room there to do things like ornamental grasses, knockout rose, Russian sage, things that will provide color in that season when most people are going to be out there on the porch. And they don't get high. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they're, you know, probably as high as the fence that you show
right.
there
okay.
or the railing.
Okay.
But it has the potential to be a really nice area, you know, just like at a residential area, we go out on the porch and you can look out at the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not high maintenance things. I mean, some of the things are cut down in the fall and then they come back up. But I think you're just missing an opportunity by not doing that there. It'll enhance your entry as well as provide a nice area for people to look out at.
Mm-hmm.
And then here, you had mentioned that nothing grows there. I've been really involved in bioretention now the
mm-hmm.
last year or so, and that can also be planted. The Howard County has guidelines. The bottom of that, in fact, they encourage it because it just helps with the infiltration
yep.
and
yep.
the absorption of the water. But things like, well, first of all, you can place even like large rocks maybe at the edge
right.
Just to kind of make it look more like a natural pond. But within the basin itself, Joe Pye weed, dwarf inkberry, purple coneflower, let's see, what else did I write down here? Red Dozier dogwood, those aren't trees, they're just shrubs.
Right.
But I've driven by some in Montgomery County, and this time of year, they're spectacular. I mean,
really?
it's serving its purpose, but it's also becomes this summer fall garden that people that are in line here in the stacking lane, they'll be able to enjoy that, and it really will be a focal point coming this way as you come in and then as you go around. So I encourage you to look at that because
okay.
it really isn't just a grass area for
right.
like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
If it's planted correctly, it could be really quite a nice amenity. And again, they're not high maintenance things. They do die back in the winter, but then they come back again,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the fall, I mean, in the spring. So
sure.
those are my comments.
Yep.
I just
mm-hmm.
encourage you to just
yep.
take those two areas and really develop them because they'll just enhance your facility for
right.
sure.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Just a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your main entrance right
yes,
here?
Yes.
Is there an entrance here?
Yes, there's a door out the front, the short side. That's why that sidewalk comes around. So you could go out that door and come into the sort of. But the main entrance is there.
Well, in that case, you know, for all these folks who
yep.
park and want to walk in, it might
mm-hmm.
be nice to have a sidewalk here. You know, where you've got this
yep.
landscape, so they can. I mean, how else do they get there? Work their way through these cars. I know that.
Right, right.
So,
yep.
Let's try that. You're also showing a 28-foot wide driveway here and a 24 here, which I think is the requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Why not make this a 24 and have 4 more feet of either patio or landscape or both?
Yeah, honestly, because what happens is, and if you've now seen the Wawas and people of that, you know, they're getting to 28s and 30s. So you can, you know, have a safer, cleaner backing up and movement. The 24 is the minimum, and it works. But with a lot of quick turns, what happens is a little wider is better, and it just feels better. So our guys like to try and get 28 wherever they can. It doesn't mean that one couldn't, you know, if we made that 26, we could steal another 2 feet. You know, we could do that. But that's really what it's about. That's the same with the escape lane. It's all about having people not feel like they're cooped up and they're stuck, and you know, and if you've ever been to those convenience stores, Royal, all of those places, you take your life in your hands coming in and out of those places. So, you know, we're trying to make it a little easier.
I have just one more
mm-hmm.
landscape
yeah.
comment. If you do move that sign
yes.
out towards the street, that would be a great area to add maybe 2 more shade trees for the parking lot.
In the island there,
yeah. Yeah, on the
mm-hmm.
island,
yep.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have some red maples, and you probably want to keep the same variety if that's what you end up going with. I'm finished.
I have a couple of questions or comments. I like the circulation in the site. I just have one small recommendation in here,
mm-hmm.
in this parking space. I just recommend you to move it a little bit to the side. I think you're going to need more space in here.
Right.
I think, so just an observation.
Yep.
The other thing, I believe, double check, I think it should be fine, but for fire, I think the fire department can ask you for 20-foot wide lane.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, again, it should be fine because they can access the back of the building, but just an advice that they can make you increase the size of go to 20.
Yep.
And I understand, I mean, you're in redevelopment, but it looks like you may need another bioretention this in your side, more other than this one, because you basically increasing,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of, I mean, putting more impervious area. So you may need, I mean, you have space, you should be fine. So just an advice. And other than that, I mean, I like the concept, and I mean,
yeah,
side concept.
Like I said, we're probably going to wind up with some underground, I'm sure. You know, but yeah, I'll obviously,
I mean,
we'll have to hit those numbers on the stormwater management, no matter what, for approval anyway. So approval and development.
Correct. DED, our engineering division, they'll review the entire site for compliance with stormwater management regs.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have more concrete numbers as they proceed through the development process. But DPZ will definitely verify and work with them on
the quality and the quantity. It's just it's really just so hard to.
Yeah, I believe in here you just need quality, quantity. I believe you don't have to, but I mean, yeah, I mean, just you're gonna. Just, I don't think quantity is gonna be an issue, but should be fine.
Sujit and Vivian, you all have any comments, questions?
If you go to the architectural, I think overall it really looks very nice. Nice composition, color. The only thing bothering me is the back, that corrugated metal panel.
Mm-hmm.
Either you try to match with the color or material,
mm-hmm.
because right now it completely doesn't look, you know, harmonious with the overall building.
Yep.
But other than that, it really looks nice. I don't have anything else.
Vivian?
Yeah, I just had a question on the rusted metal.
Yes.
So is that encapsulated with some kind of coating so that doesn't continue to degrade, or what happens to it with age?
I don't think so. I don't think it's...
once it patinas, the patina kind of encapsulates.
Like copper.
Itself.
Yeah.
Just be careful because it will stain anything.
Oh, yeah. We try and put a little landscape area around it or something like that. We've had some places where we just couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And that concrete gets stained near there.
When I first looked at it, it almost looked like it was a stone, actually, is what I thought.
Is that also Nietzsche panel, the rusted one?
No, it's metal.
It's actual steel, okay.
You can see here in your rendering that your renderer suggested that you have a sidewalk to get to the front door.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing I was noticing in your rendering, which I like, is the fact that it looks like you're putting tables underneath that canopy, which would be great to activate the outdoor space.
Absolutely.
Sort of in the sort of sense of what the Route 1 corridor guidelines are trying to promote.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? People outside, gathering, all that sort of thing. Yeah, when I look at the plan, I don't see the tables, so
yeah,
I'm assuming you're going to do
tables. They're there. And that's nice.
That's good. Maybe not every day of the year, but...
Correct. And that's really what you get into, right? So
right.
How often is it really used? We actually like it for the reason you like it. It also gives that building's pretty skinny.
Yeah.
It gives it a little more breadth, you know, so it just feels better, you know, aside from the fact that it's, you know, it gives you the seating, which, again, a lot of folks are trying to do the same things you're doing.
I'm missing the KFC sign. I think it's nice.
What's happening is the Taco Bell brand is the stronger brand for us, and Taco Bell and KFC are like feuding siblings.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really play nice in the sandbox, even though they're the same family. So to keep the KFC and the Taco Bell in the same building becomes very difficult, and we actually make more money with just Taco Bell, and it's a better brand right now, so we've been converting a lot of them.
Is this going to be one of your newer ones with a cantina?
No, it will not be a cantina. The cantina with liquor, trust me, we've been struggling with that whole conversation too. I said we know how to run drive-through restaurants, quick-serve restaurants. When you get to cantinas and liquor and all that, I don't think we want to go there.
Any other questions from the panel? No?
Yeah.
So anyone want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that you look at moving your at-grade sign out to the sidewalk and replace the smaller trees with shade trees along Route 1.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 I'd like to make a motion, too, and sort of combine it with the last motion, that you pay particular attention to the Route 1 design guidelines for whatever it is you're doing along Route 1, that whole edge there, with planting, your sign, lighting, sidewalk. It's all referenced in the manual. Anybody want to second that?
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I would like to make a motion just to update that the parking that we talk shifted to the right, just to have more the eyes and make it bigger.
I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And one last motion I'm going to make is pay attention to and see if you can incorporate some sort of sidewalk right where that green area is. Literally, it's almost right out in front of your main double door entry, right adjacent to the handicap parking spot, because otherwise people are walking between cars, and it'd be nice to, because what's going to happen, they're going to wear a path there anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
Anybody want to second that?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And I did have one more motion.
Okay.
My motion is that you look at the internal landscaping and try to enhance with color and texture your garden area outside the porch area, and then also your bioretention area.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
No other motions? Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Terrific, thank you very much.
You.
Appreciate it.
Yes,
thank you very much. Don't go back to the stage.
Yeah.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I imagine it would be. I think it'd be popular around here, too.
Yeah.
Is that a separate drone? Is that part of the program?
Toward the back.
I remember seeing it.
Now you're hungry for a taco from Taco Bell.
Yeah.
You guys ready?
Yep.
Okay, so you probably sat in the audience and saw how this goes down. We'll introduce ourselves again. Introduce yourselves, staff will introduce themselves, and then we'll ask you for 15 minutes worth of a presentation. You saw, questions, answers, and then staff will have comments and we'll make motions.
Okay.
I'm Fred Marino, I'm an architect.
Juan Rodriguez, I'm an engineer.
Bob Gorman, a landscape architect.
Larry Quarick, a landscape architect.
Sujit Mishra, architect.
Nicholas Haynes, Department of Planning and Zoning.
I'm Dale Greeter. I'm with ADA Architects.
I'm Mark Johnston. I'm a site civil with Goodchick, Little, and Weber.
Okay. Well, the floor is yours to make your presentation.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how familiar you are with this particular site. It was previously approved both with a SDP and a previous DAP approval for the Korean Wellness Center, which was a two-story building with senior daycare on the first floor, office on the second floor. They had got all their approvals, had started construction. If you look at the aerial photo, you probably can see that there's some curb and gutter and some masquerading that's been done. And then, for whatever reason, it died. Mm. Now we're coming in with Primrose, that's a daycare preschool. The layout of the site mirrors pretty much what was previously approved. The parking lot is almost identically in the same spot as it was on the previous layout. And the building is generally in the same spot. Our footprint is slightly larger than the previous approval, but the overall square footage is less. That's one story instead of two. As you can see, as you may know, it's surrounded on three sides, the west, the north, and the east sides, with residential zone property, RA15. Our site is a B1. The area to the south is office condos. It's also a B1. We have gone through an administrative adjustment hearing a few weeks back. It was a favorable hearing. There wasn't any opposition, but we are waiting to get the written results from the meeting. Dale, if you want to go and talk a little bit about Primrose School itself.
Yeah, so the site actually lends itself pretty well to a prototypical ground-up. This is their S prototype. Reusing the existing curbing that's there for our parking lot. Our entry is right in line with that. It's very prominent at the end of the site. This is a 12,000 square foot daycare preschool with a 11,000 square foot playground. Kind of a residential feel with the construction, single story, brick all around the base with a stone sill and hardy siding. We do brick out the front entry and add a cupola for a little more to define the entry a little better. Playground. We also have a monument sign there. Playground is all little types equipment. Here's a few massing models. You can see our entry. Is this a laser pointer?
Make sure it should be on. I think there's a little switch on the side. Make sure it's on and it should be the center button.
Left. Anyway. Our entry is right in line with the entry to the site, which we think is pretty favorable. Here's the materials. These are standard Primrose brick, hardy siding, standing seam metal roof over the front awning, architectural shingles over the rest of the building. Typical cut sheet on playground equipment for the various age groups. We have a Primrose patch for the infants and toddlers. They can go out and do some planting and some gardening and kind of grow some things. Intermediate play equipment is here, basketball court and hopscotch. And then we have our preschool fire truck and tire swing. Site details. The playground is typically an irrigated sod. Sometimes the franchise owners like to upgrade to an X-grass, which is an artificial turf. Permeable, does have drainage below it, so there's no ponding or anything like that with stormwater. That's it.
I just have a question before we go to staff comments.
Yeah.
On the different playground paddocks, stay on that one. How do you get? Obviously, there are different age groups. Is that how that works?
Yeah.
So you have to march the kids through one to get to the other in a couple instances. How does that work?
We do. The site is surrounded by a sidewalk, so all the classrooms exit to a perimeter sidewalk. We could come down. Yeah, I don't know. I have to look at the floor plan to see. Yeah, there would be some instances where they would have to pass through a playground of another age group, but the age groups aren't necessarily out there at the same time. They kind of rotate all the kids in and out. The toddlers are typically out earlier because they're there during the workday. The preschool and after school are usually there later in the day. So they do rotate things around.
Okay, sorry to get sidetracked there.
No, that's fine.
If you're dealing with horses, you usually have a double fence and you have to, you know, so they can go through without disturbing each other.
Right.
Kids are pretty much the same.
You gotta keep them corralled, though.
Yeah, you do. Separate them.
I think they do.
There's one or two where you have to go through one to get to the other.
Yeah, yeah. Here, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at your floor plan, you're definitely going to have some pass-through. You all have more in the presentation, or are you?
No, that's pretty much it. We have 195 children for the kid count.
Just if you could just take a second and walk us through your stormwater. It looks like you've got bioretention on the east side.
On
the west side.
The previous approval by the Korean Wellness Center had a stormwater management facility on the east side of the site, and then another one is in sort of a central island. Because of the way our parking is now laid out, we can't do that, so we have another bioswale on the west side.
Is this big existing thing with the culvert emptying out to the north side of your site, is that something that you utilize, or is that the other project?
The north side of the site is, if you're looking here, is that what you're talking about?
No, right here. There's a big existing.
Right, that's for the adjacent use.
And they've got a culvert emptying right here, which looks like it goes into a ditch down this
correct.
Side of your property and
right.
into the stream.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, there's a...
So where does your water... Oh, I see, your water gets piped out.
Yeah, there's right up here is an existing stormwater management pond for quantity control. I think it probably has some quality, too, but we're not utilizing any of that. So, yeah, bioswale is fed by... sheet flow, and this is going to, like, a portion of this curb here is just going to be flush curb to allow it to get into this swale. And then, you know, our inlet's here, and then it'll be piped out to here and then into this existing storm drain. And then over here, we're going to have another bioswale, and that would also be fed by a combination of sheet flow into a curb cut, and then a good portion of this roof, both kind of this half of the building and then a portion over here, is going to go into roof drains that will daylight into the other side as well. So we currently meet all of our ESD requirements for volume in those two devices.
Great.
Okay. Presentation done?
I think
done?
We're good.
Okay.
Yes.
Staff comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. They laid out the design fairly well. You know, they gave you a good history on, you know, where this project, you know, was, where it was headed, and, you know, and now it's new direction, you know, with what they have proposed. Planning and zoning would like to request that the DAP evaluate, make recommendations on site layout, edge treatments, and transitions along the perimeter, and how it relates to surrounding properties. If you could also make recommendations on the architectural materials, circulation, you know, things like that, and orientation of the building. And if you could make recommendations on the relationships and connections between the proposed daycare and the surrounding neighborhood, that might be helpful to DPZ at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. So a couple of comments, and then my colleagues will certainly chime in. I think this is probably a pretty good use for the neighborhood overall, and I think architecturally it seems to fit in nicely, the scale. You know, it's only one story, and architecturally the aesthetics you're trying to achieve seem, again, consistent with the neighborhood, and it should fit in nicely. A couple of concerns I have. One is we all probably are familiar with how daycares work. It's a flurry of people early in the morning, a flurry of people toward the end of the day. When you come in and out of your facility, I'm concerned with circulation right at that entrance and drop-off, and then also pedestrian circulation in and out. So I'm looking at your – can you go to your overall colored site plan? Yeah, so am I working here?
I think it's backwards.
Oh, thank you. Duh. Okay, here we go. So, you know, you got a lot of people coming in and out of here very fast. They're going to find some place to park. They're going to go in with their kids. They're going to run out of here and leave. Albeit this is architecturally, or somebody came up with a really nice design layout here for paving, you know, you're going to need to think and consider almost a larger area, particularly this kind of situation here. People are going to be cutting right across this lawn, right, to get to this, which I thought your entrance was right here. It's not tucked behind here. And I realize what you're trying to do here is make a statement, you know, maybe with some color and landscape, I don't know for sure. But I think you need to reconsider your paving and make it larger and make it also come out to the parking maybe all along in here somehow and rethink what you're doing from maybe from this edge all the way down to here.
You need to get rid of these little triangles.
Yeah.
They're just going to be muddy.
It's going to be mud. It's going to be a mud pit.
Yeah.
And realize that since there is not a lot of parking right here for drop-off, people are going to have to park here and everywhere else. So they're going to be coming from all directions. So even over in here, this little piece of grass or whatever that is, you might want to consider taking the, you know, some of that paving all the way right out to the curb. The other thing is, when I look at architecturally what you're doing here and here, we do get snow. We get quite a bit of rain around here, and this roof is pitched, so there's a gutter presumably right here and right here. Mm-hmm. Not a good solution, because if that gutter overflows, we have ice in the wintertime. You might want to look at how you're resolving this architecturally here and here, and or maybe doing a bigger portico porch or something to protect that entryway, because like I said, you're pitching, your slope is coming down to an eave right here and here with a gutter, and I'm not sure that's the best scenario given the use of this of building. You know, even if you were entering here, to me that might be better if you had even a covered entry. So take a look at that. And then lastly, I look at your photos of your plantings and so forth, and it looks like there's a nice fence, a black fence, like aluminum or picket fence all the way around, yet I see in your details you have a chain link fence detail. So my question is, I know you're going to have to do a fence all the way around the playground area, but are you doing something all the way around the site as well?
So
what is it?
It's the Ameristar fence around the perimeter, 6 foot high around the playground. The interior fencing is a black vinyl-coated chain link. And then...
So what's the Ameristar? I'm not familiar with that.
Ameristar is it's an aluminum kind of wrought iron look.
Kind of what's in the playground equipment photos then?
Yes.
Which one is it? Okay.
So can you show on the plan where that fence is versus the chain link?
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good question because I don't.
So the Ameristar would go all around the perimeter, right across the front here.
Okay, so closest to the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anything that's interior
that is
the chain line.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
And then we do screen the AC units with a vinyl board-on-board look.
Okay.
It could be white or almond.
Okay.
To kind of blend in with the hardy siding.
Mm-hmm.
To get to your comment on the entry, they do the entries side to side here to prevent kids running, you know, directly out. That's their prototypical pitch with the gutters. it's worked. We do them everywhere from Michigan to Florida.
You don't have any problems with that water coming down there and ice and snow that then is going to, you know, come right off the roof right over the main entries? I mean, it's an issue, and, you know.
Yeah, it is.
If you had a larger, deeper, because right now it looks like you just have a 2-foot overhang there. So if you had a larger, deeper porch type element, you'd say, okay, well, maybe that's not as much of a.
Yeah, it is.
The entry's recessed, though. Right?
Yeah, but like 2 feet, Vivian. I think it's only like 2 feet. It's just like an overhang.
So it's a 2-foot overhang, but then the entry recesses in plan, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Does it?
Additional.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look at the plan, it's an additional.
Yeah, what we're showing on the plan view does not indicate the gutter overhang.
So it looks like it's maybe a 4-foot.
Yeah.
Right, it's actually
from.
It's actually squared off.
I gotcha. Okay. Okay.
So
I gotcha. So the roof eave comes all the way out to that corner.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So you got 4 or 5 feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a...
But you still potentially could have the gutter issue, so you probably need to think about snow guards.
Right.
Yeah.
On the
roof. At the very end, right here, on this side and this side, is where the downspouts are.
Okay.
And that's just picking up just that tiny little bit of the portico.
Okay.
How do you control the snow?
What's that?
How do you control the snow?
Well, I guess just the same way that we do it on every other building.
It is actually a very serious concern. Even if you have a snow guard at that roof pitch level, it is always very dangerous.
Just something to pay attention to.
Well, we're not Vermont, but every once in a while.
We're finishing one up in Massachusetts, and when they had the roof on and everything, they did get 14 inches of snow. It's a lot, and they just had to be, being that the whole perimeter is a concrete sidewalk, they are pretty vigilant about maintaining that
mm-hmm.
and keeping it dry, because that's their main circulation path for the children,
mm-hmm.
and it's their main egress path for emergencies.
Can you go back to kind of the engineered site plan? No, there was one that's a little closer, I think. No, maybe it was that one.
There's an architectural one.
So, you know, what I think this is where Fred was talking. You
mm-hmm.
know, if you thought about this area in particular
mm-hmm.
as an island for the tree, and you had sidewalk all the way around that, because people coming from here aren't going to make this military turn
mm-hmm.
and another military turn. They're going to go path of least resistance
mm-hmm.
right there and right there. And I think if you surrounded this with walkway and squared off these
mm-hmm.
little triangles so it became more of an entrance little plaza, that would be a much better solution.
Okay. Yes, we should be able to add a sidewalk kind of along this edge to connect to there.
I would cut through here as well. I would make that just a square, a big
yeah.
square with a tree in it. If you don't do that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I would just extend the sidewalk all the way down right here, as well as that one.
Right. Well, right in here at this little piece of grassed area, we do have a bit of a grade change in order to make the site grading work. Because we're in the realm of environmental site design, you know, a portion of this has to sheet flow in order to we don't have the ability to daylight it down here. So while I think we can make a sidewalk work here, right in this area, we wouldn't be able to just directly connect it. So
well,
that
makes it even more important then to, like, you know, square this off so you can right into the sidewalk in
mm-hmm.
that way rather than coming in here and then go up and switching back.
Right.
No one's going to do that.
Right? Mm-hmm. No. I mean, I almost see that whole area just being paved. You know,
mm-hmm.
a nice little entry plaza.
Yeah, and if you like that curved walkway, you could have that, what they're talking about, as a different paver or something,
yeah,
or just a scored concrete
yeah.
or something
yeah.
like that. And it'll look like a little entry plaza then.
Right.
even if you change the color of that circle, right, it still give you the same feeling.
And you'll still, then your curved walkway would still read as a design element.
I have a Chinese designer friend who always calls these poison arrows. You have to get rid of those in every plan. They're really bad feng shui.
No.
That is true.
Any other comments or questions?
Just one. You've got a nice generous landscape plan here. Is it kind of against their operational format to put some shade trees in where the kids actually are?
I mean, you have it on the north side there, but...
No, I mean in the playground area.
Within the tree.
Yeah, they tried to eliminate blind spots, you know, anything that the kids can hide behind. They do that.
One thing I'm not sure that you noticed, but all of the bigger play elements have permanent canopies on them.
Yeah, we appreciate that because it does get really hot here in the summertime.
I had one other comment. I think answered my own question, but I have trouble finding it. Trash enclosure, I think, was that masonry? Did I see a detail for that?
Yeah, that's...
there it is.
Masonry,
yep.
With the bricks to match the building.
Nice.
With a heavy-duty gates with a corrugated metal...
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've only got one flag, so what flag is that going to be?
That's an American flag.
Not a Maryland flag, too?
I'm sure we can work one out.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. Anybody else?
Go ahead.
I just have one question. Again, coming back to the main entrance. So the main entrance roof pitch is different than the overall building roof pitch if you go to the elevation.
Yes.
So is there any reason? I mean, maybe it's just the architectural aesthetic reason. Or is there any other reason? Because if you try to match the roof pitch with the overall building, then that probably will help for the snow, you know, all that concern as well. So
match the
entrance roof pitch, if you match the building, you know, roof pitch. Because right now it's really very steep in the main entrance.
Yeah.
And even if you put the snow guard, still there is a concern, but if you, you know, match that roof pitch with the overall building roof pitch.
Looks like those are accents.
It's
like
kind of, yeah.
My only concern there is the having room for the sign. If we lower that pitch, we might be cutting close to the sign.
Yeah, I mean, even if you keep that, does it work? And you do like that.
Raise it up.
Yeah.
Raise it up here.
Just like that. So you're, I mean, it's just a thought.
I think it kind of looks nice. I mean, architecturally, it's kind of like a schoolhouse. And I think it's a nice composition. It gives a little bit extra definition to that entry point.
Yeah, I believe that the entry and the dormers had the same pitch. And then the overall ridges.
Like the little red schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all I have.
Vivian, did you have anything else?
Oh, I just I think it's a beautiful site for a daycare center. I mean, just with the natural shade trees around the perimeter, and I had the same question that Bob had about shade trees inside the playground area, but I can understand the safety concern, and you know, functionally, it seems like you've addressed that with the play equipment itself, but I mean, I think this does, as Fred said in the beginning, addresses a great need for the community. I wish they had something like this when my kids were little.
I was going to say, Vivian, I knew one of these 20 years ago when there was only one in the whole neighborhood, and now there's like four or five of them.
And it's like partying the one night my kids went to. It was part of the strip mall, and
right,
to dodge all the Safeway traffic, and this is great.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
All right.
I just had one.
Go ahead.
I had a question. Can you go back to the colored version of the site plan? Will that berms area remain between the parking lot? It's bermed up here quite high, and will that stay then between this parking lot and that?
It function. I mean, sort of. The probably the center line of the grade stays the same, but then we're kind of heading down a little bit more of a steeper slope on site. So our parking lot will be a little bit lower than the parking lot on the
okay.
adjacent office condo.
So if you had the opportunity to put a couple more trees there, that, I don't know what that is. The front of that building looks good here, but back here,
there
I thought it was being torn down because if they've got like boarded up windows.
Right. Well, they're office condos, so I think the ones in the back may not be occupied right now.
Okay. So I don't know. The more you can screen that, you know, even if it's just shade trees there, and you know, a couple more to give you. Where's that? Can you go to your landscape plan? Just you know, two more here, just to you know, get that line of trees there. It'll shade your parking lot,
mm-hmm.
and it'll just help you know, screen
mm-hmm.
those views there because this isn't all that desirable.
Well, you could steal them from the east or the north side
right.
if you've got a budget.
Yeah, those islands too could probably not.
They're
yeah.
already nicely landscaped on the adjacent property.
Right, and yeah, this is the north side, so you're not really going to get that much you know, shade to the playground, you know, from those trees. But anyway, if you could just enhance it there, I think that would help. And I'm glad to see that like the prior plan on bioretention area is heavily planted and could be a really nice area. And also, I don't know how much you teach in these. What are the ages that come here?
It's infants all the way up to 5 years.
Okay. So as you get to that 4 or 5, it's a good way
or
to do it.
Or is that just fifth grade? Is it through fifth grade?
4 or 5. No, 5 years old.
That's
5 years
it?
Old. Yeah.
Oh, really low. I thought most of these daycare centers went K through 5, infant through 5.
No, okay. our kid count is...
Oh, no, because once they get into elementary school, they have this
daycare. After school and all kinds
right,
of stuff,
you're
yeah.
Right, you're right.
Anyway,
it's been a while, baby.
I know.
It's been a while.
You know, well, I mean, you probably know GLW. We've got a good palette of typical landscape stuff that
yes,
we use.
And it really does make a big difference. I didn't have any other comments.
Okay. So does anybody want to make the first motion?
I'd like to make a motion that you take another look at the front entrance paving so that it actually reflects where people are coming from to get to the front doors.
I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any other motions?
I'd like to make a motion that the bermed area between the school and the office condos be enhanced with at least two more trees to give it a nice line of trees to shade both parking lots, really.
I'll second that.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any other motions? No? Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's all we had on the docket, gentlemen,
okay.
Just the two. We didn't get any submissions for the next meeting, so there's a little break at the end of the month.
Vacation!
Which is, yeah. I do have some things lined up, so we may see something early August.
Okay.
And that's it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody,
thank
for coming.
You.
And we'll close the meeting.
Yes, meeting adjourned. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.